Blog Talk Radio.
Straightway-stam och mina systrar.
Finland.
Olen hebrealainen Suomesta ja rakastan Straightway-heimoani ja siskojani.
Israel. Ani Ivriya Israel. Ohevet et shevet Straightway ve'achyotai.
I am a Hebrew from Trinidad and Tobago. I love my Straightway tribe and sisters.
Puerto Rico.
Soy hebrea de Puerto Rico y amo a la tribu de Straightway y también a mis hermanas.
Sa ko ka Hebreo gikan sa Cebu, Philippines. Gihigugma na ako ang pamilya sa Straightway. Labi na ang mga igsuon na ako nga babay.
Mwe seyon Ebwe. Mwe fet Haiti. Mwe reme Straightway tribwe esemyo.
Australia.
I am a Hebrew from Australia and I love my Straightway tribe and sisters.
Japan.
私は日本からのヘブライ人です。私はストライウェイ族と私の姉妹が大好きです。
Canada?
I am a Hebrew from Canada, and I love my Straightway tribe and sisters.
Hello, my greetings. Bless you all. Sister Ashley here live for another episode of Sister to Sister. I am by myself tonight, hosting this show alone, communicating to you guys alone, and it is very humbling to have anyone come and listen to you or sit down and give you their time. Hallelujah. I am not the typical social media hound or someone who desires to talk or have their own channel. That's not my heart at all, so I'm very humbled by being alone. Mother Jennifer on the road. This is the weekend for the leaders to meet, and we thank the Father for it, and His will is always happening. March the 20th is the day that the land opens up for the feast. All right, that's 34 days, family, 34 days. April 1st, land is closed. That's 46 days. So there's a 12-day period that the land is opened up, and I'm sure I'll see all or many or some of you. Praise y'all for that. Thank you to everyone who's donating to the Be a Blessing, and if you can't, no pressure at all. Me giving thanks to the Be a Blessing doesn't mean any pressure for anyone, because we are blessed by any items, any or all items that do come in, and I thank the Father. I really do for what you guys are able to give. Our offline crew, they're able to give milk and eggs every feast, and that's a huge dent into the needs of the kitchen. And our communities are able to give time and money and their service. That's a huge dent. Individuals who may or may not be on communities are able to give their prayers, and they're able to sign up for the chores, and it truly is one body. I pray that this feast is about Him, for Him, and uplifting Him. Not about us, not about our needs. It's about His death, His remembrance, His burial, His resurrection, His life, and His blood. I'm thankful for the Passover. I'm thankful to know about the feast days, you know, in my prior life. And we all have that testimony. We didn't know. And I'm thankful for all the children who are able to grow in this and have a feast and keep the feast, all seven of them, every year from their birth up, or from their mother and father's, you know, conversion and commitment to the faith all the way up. To those who are really forming genuine friends, bless you. You know, those who are adoring one another, tearing down walls, just like the song says in our intro, willing to love, willing to endure another woman, hallelujah, growing daily, increasing in the tribal mentality. It's a press, you know, like Pastor said before, when the crosshairs of Yah, and that's no light thing. Fires everywhere as far as the afflictions. You know, we as a people have to humble ourselves, for the Most High Yah will humble us. And I thank Him for those who are willing to lay down their lives and humble themselves. Once again, thanks for tuning in and listening tonight. I hope that the scripture that I have on my heart, my spirit, it was placed in my spirit on the second day, and then again on third day, it just kind of kept coming up. And then I reached out to Mother Jennifer and said, hey, I'm early with my idea for the show. I'm going to drop this verse in your heart and get your thoughts live on fifth day. You know, and she said, hey, I'll be on the road, headed to the leadership meeting, headed to Praise Land. I said, hey, I'm not going to make you do the show. She was willing. She said, we'll arrive there on fifth day if you want me to go live. She's always willing. And y'all know 10 times out of 11, I'm releasing her from the show when she's willing. And so when she's not here, it's not because she's opting out. I truly believe that if she has something on her heart and her spirit, that she'll be able to share with those sisters up there. And I hope that they have a great fellowship. You know, a lot of times when we get together, women truly are serving, you know, serving the men, serving the snacks, serving the drinks, washing the dishes and doing those things. But we get an opportunity to fellowship with each other in our service to the kingdom. It's a different fellowship than the brothers. You know, it's a service for the King through our bodies, and I appreciate that. And so I hope that each woman up there is able to get a chance to fellowship. Hallelujah. Let me bring up my chat. Shout out to Sister Carla. I'm telling the world that you're here. If you're listening, Carla, she's on the land. She's on the land. She's not in the room tonight. I think my room, my sound room here that I'm sitting in, you know, I sit in Elder Becker's office. It has been empty for a while. I just thought about that right now. It's peaceful, but it's been empty. My audience has to be where they have to be. Also want to acknowledge my sister Sakina tonight, just pressing to enter in at the straight gate. For those of you who know her circumstances, you know, handling the process, handling the circumstances of life, processing the process of life, relying on Jesus, because I know she does. Nothing else matters, sisters. Nothing else matters, family, when you experience things like this and what she's going through. And I acknowledge Brother Ray. He was a friend and a brother to the Bell House. He was always making food for us for years, and I just want to say that just 2 weeks ago he made a sandwich for me, my favorite sandwich. He knows I love mushrooms. He knows I love veggie sandwiches, and on rye, bread, et cetera. So, yeah, that was our brother. That was our brother. So I want to acknowledge that, and I don't want this show to go by without acknowledging that. What else? I can't say. Mother, what you think? I'm trying to reconnect to the chat room. I believe everybody is chimed in. Sister Aya, bless you one day. I hope to hug you again. Not many followers and listeners tonight. Makes it small. Makes it homey. Makes it like family, right? Hallelujah. A lot of people need to be where they need to be. I'll share. May the Most High Yah give me the words to say, and you, may it connect with the Ruach inside of you. That's what it's about. The Spirit of Yah inside of each of us bears witness to the truth when it's spoken, and it bears witness to anything to do with the Father. You know, righteousness and justice and the fruit of the Spirit and all those things. So you're going to bear witness with anyone who speaks the truth because you have the Father in you, right? When the truth is not spoken, it doesn't bear witness with the Spirit of Yah in you. And you have to pay attention to those red flags too. You know, it's all to teach your spirit. And he's our shepherd. So it directs our path on what to listen to and what to take heed to. So shalom and blessings to the sisters. Hallelujah. Much honor, much love. And as Sikina talked in the chat room, nothing else matters but Yah and him alone. It's the truth. Hallelujah. I will share that Galatians 5 came in my mind. I didn't hear or think Galatians 5. I wasn't quite sure where the verse was when I pondered it on second day. But the verse is that those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So that was the verse that hit me second day, and that was the verse that hit me third day. And I use the word hit, but it just came out of nowhere, you know, into my mind, and that's how the Father works. And so those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So me coming on alone tonight without Mother Jennifer, I said, I think I can make that a show. We all know the verse that says, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And even that is a declaration that there is a lust of the flesh, a continual lust of the flesh. You can say that the flesh lusts for the obvious outward things, you know, food and drink, substances, you know, drugs, alcohol, nicotine. That's the obvious natural lust, but there's such a deeper lust that is also attached to our behavior, and that's what I want to talk about tonight. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and that war is never ending, you know. That's really what you want to escape in this way. You want to escape the flesh lusting against the Spirit. And that's what really tests the endurance in your vessel. Because you don't want to fight, but the Spirit of Yah won't stop the fight, and the flesh won't stop its lust. So these are contrary one to another, the Spirit and the flesh. We know that. Hallelujah. So Galatians 5:22 says, that the Most High Yah Spirit makes us loving, happy. This is Common English Version. Y'all know I like that version. A little credit to Mother Carol who turned me on to that years ago. The Most High Yah Spirit makes us loving, makes us happy, makes us peaceful, makes us patient, makes us kind, makes us good, faithful, gentle, and self-controlled. And that is the truth, because without His Spirit, by nature and natural tendencies, we wouldn't be those things. I wouldn't be those things. There's no law against behaving in any of these ways, right? So because we belong to Christ Jesus, we have killed according to the Common English Version, killed. Some versions say crucified. But we have crucified, killed our selfish feelings and our selfish desires. That's another reference. That's another reference to the war. So now you have this task of crucifying the flesh with its passions and desires. So now you have this task of killing your selfish feelings and desires. So I want to talk about them a little bit. What does crucified mean? You guys know this, but I got to say it because we're on a show. That crucified means to eliminate and to completely extinguish, to totally eradicate, to remove, you know, the flesh, its passions, its desires. That is what you are charged to do in your vessel, so that you would live by the Spirit and to keep in step with the Spirit, so that you can grow in love, peace, patience, kindness, all those things that Yah's Spirit in you wants you to do. All right? So the more you're able to stay engaged in the fight to kill your selfish feelings and desires, then the more that Yah's Spirit can make you, form you, shape you, transform you into a self-controlled and gentle, faithful, good, patient, kind vessel. Hallelujah. So it's a process, of course. And everyone around you has their own process, you know, so that should make you a little merciful as well. Y'all can tell I'm trying to talk a little slow because I don't got a partner. Hallelujah. To crucify selfish feelings, you know, what comes to your mind, sisters, with selfish feelings, you know, maybe you can type something in. Well, it's a selfish feeling. Maybe it's hard to even put into words. You know, that's the cunning subtlety of our flesh. It's hard to even put into words what this flesh feels, you know, but to have selfish feelings is to be concerned excessively about yourself. That's easy to do because you wake up with you and you go to work with you, or you labor with you, or you, you know, have your children and you're there, like you're inside you. So to be concerned excessively about yourself is rather easy for the selfish flesh. Or to take it even further, what would be a selfishness that you need to crucify would be to seek your own advantage. You know, I have witnessed a lot of conversations, communications, relationships over the years, and there's a lot of times a seeking of your own advantage, even within my own self. You know, a seeking of your own advantage in a relationship or in a communication, and concentrating on pleasing yourself regardless of how others feel is also a nature of the flesh. So you would concentrate on what is going to make your day the way you want your day. You know, what's going to make your relationships the way you want your relationships. You're not going to comfortably go outside of your circle of friends or connections or sisters or family to communicate to someone else, right? Regardless of anyone else and how they feel, it's going to be more comfortable for you to concentrate on your pleasure. You know, it's easy to be friends with her, you know, him, whatever your family dynamic is. And to go outside of that is, it's not really common, right? So that's some selfish things that come to my mind, some human natures inside of us. Reflecting on the word desire. Let's go there. Remember to crucify your desires, right? Desire would be a strong feeling. Actually wanting something to happen, perhaps, or wanting to have what someone else has, which can lean into coveting, which, of course, is breaking our commandments. What do you want? You know, what does your heart want? It's often never satisfied, never satiated, you know. A lot of times consumed with the things of this life or this earth, you know, and not setting your affections on the things above. Do you really want status amongst people? Do you really want to be known? You know, that's something to consider. Is that a strong desire? Is that a strong desire that you need to crucify? You know, do you really want money and a lot of it? You know? And I'm meaning the things that you want that are not lining up in accordance with the Father's will for you, but just something that your flesh yearns for, longs for, and desires. I remember we're reflecting on the verse to crucify those things, right? Because those who belong to Christ Jesus have killed the selfish feelings and desires. So for some people, they might desire to even have a child. That can be a righteous and upright desire for all women. That should be in the hearts of women. But at what point does that become a lust? At what point does that lust conceived in your heart become sin? You know, when you can't look upon someone else's child and be happy or thankful or love that child because you want it so badly for yourself. You know, what about wanting a husband? You know, a lot of women may want a husband, and that also is a righteous desire, but when does that cross over? You know, maybe you have a husband, you want a different one, and it's become a lust. You know, maybe you want your husband to be a different kind of man. That's a selfish lust. You know, wanting a man just to get rid of a rejected feeling, that is a work of the flesh, you know. Maybe you want a better home, and maybe you even need one, you know. Maybe you want a homestead, maybe you want property. But when does that become an evil, selfish desire, you know, when it consumes you, when you grow weary and discontent, you know. Or maybe you want revenge for someone who has hurt you when you really, really reflect on the strong feelings and desires that you have within your heart. What do you really want? I really want her, you know, to feel the pain that I felt when she did that. And I really want him to, you know, hurt. I really want him to be judged for what he said, what he did, you know. And a lot of that is just the works of this flesh. Remember, crucify is to eliminate the desire that drives you. To eliminate the desire that drives you excessively. So that's the task. It's really the word that I put before you tonight, to crucify. You know, I can't relate to anyone who struggles to spend time in the Spirit or spend time in prayer. I can't relate to that. I have always, from the beginning of my journey, longed to be in prayer. I have no drive past that. I have no commitment greater than that. Do I have problems? Yes. You know what I mean? Do I have other areas? Yes. Oh, my gosh. I don't mean this is a form of exaltation. I just mean when you set your affections on things above and you commit yourself to the necessary need of prayer or of fasting, you don't have anything else that you long for more than that, you know. And that's a good measuring stick. That's a really good measuring stick. But I want to bring up some of the works of the flesh that we know are manifest. You know, you got adultery and fornication and uncleanness, and you got idolatry and witchcraft and wrath and strife and all these things that are written about. And sometimes when you read about these things in the Word, it doesn't prick you the way that you may want to be pricked, or the way that you're trying to see within yourself, because it's just not connecting. You know, okay, the Word says that when lust has conceived, when you have a lust and it has conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death, which is somehow going to affect your body, right? So it can manifest in any form of disease or ailment, any affliction in your body or in your flesh, but somehow something within you has brought forth sin. It's easy to have a thought that can multiply into a lust, that can multiply into drunkenness, that can multiply into hatred. You know, it starts with just one lust, one thought. You know, to set your heart upon a thing or upon someone or something and then begin to take it too far in your mind, you know. And reflecting on your works in the flesh and really looking at yourself in balance, you know, if I balance my works of the flesh on this scale and then on the opposite scale, my works in the Spirit, which we know are, you know, the gentleness and the meekness and the kindness and endurance and all that, oftentimes we'll see that imbalance, you know, where the workings of the flesh is very strong from within us, and that proves how much we need fasting and praying. That proves how much, like, I can't go a day or 2 days without fasting because I'm going to be in my flesh in some kind of way in my mind. And you might come across weary points in your journey, like, man, this is never ending. Like, the whole reason you're praying and fasting is to end this battle, right? But remember, the spirit and the flesh war consistently against each other. And this is life, you know? Hallelujah. So, I wanted to bring up another word, and it sounds super smart, y'all. It sounds so smart. Let me tell you about Deacon Bell. Deacon Bell has these words that are long, or maybe it might even be outdated. I don't know, but I'm telling you, he'll stump me every time. It's almost like I'm raising my hand when we talk. You can see it on my face, like, what does that word mean, sir? And he taught me the word propensity. And I want to share it with y'all, not because you're going to put it in your speech and you're going to start using propensity, but I want to share with you how I began to apply this word, right? Propensity means an inclination or natural tendency to behave in a particular way. So an inclination, like a leaning towards, or like a natural tendency to behave. I'm going to, like, do this every time, all the time. This is my way. This is what I do. This is how I behave. It can be instantaneous in your mind, a propensity, right? Like, for example, maybe when social atmospheres happen, fellowship, doesn't matter, maybe you get really talkative. That's your propensity. That's your natural tendency, you know, to behave in that way. Maybe you notice, maybe you don't. You know, maybe others notice, maybe they don't. Maybe it's okay, maybe it's not. You know, maybe it's something that you need to renounce. Maybe in a social environment, you have a propensity to get quiet and shy and clam up and not have anything to say. Whereas one-on-one, you're strong and confident, right? So your propensity is, I don't want to talk outside of one or two people. That's your natural tendency to behave. Some of you may get nervous around certain individuals. You have a propensity to be nervous around her. You have a propensity to feel a certain way around her. It's a spiritual fight. It's a spiritual war. So you can have a propensity to feel a familiarity in the spirit every time she's around. You know, a natural tendency. These are things that you talk to the Father about. These are works of the flesh. These propensities are works of the flesh. Okay? So to introduce to you the blood of Jesus Christ that we're going to continually bring up tonight, and I can talk an hour, but probably not more than that we overcome by the blood, by pleading the blood, and by confession of our sins. So not just recognizing, you know, not just going, oh man, I do talk under social pressure. Like, you know, I'm over-talkative under social pressure. Or I get really quiet and shy. Like, she is really talking to me right now. Not just recognizing it, but talking to the Father. You know, I said to my 10-year-old, I personally believe, we were having a quick chat today right after school. I personally believe that you need to talk to the Father about what just happened inside your mind, because only you know what you heard and how you responded. I think you need to talk to the Father. Now, his mind, if I can even say propensity, is, doesn't he already know, Mom? Doesn't he already know what I thought? And didn't he watch what I did? Yes. Adults have that same response, too. I'm not saying that's him, right? But we don't refuse to speak to him or confess to him what we heard or thought or experienced just because we know that he sees all. We don't refrain from saying it out loud to him. Yeah, just like in the garden. Of course he knew what Adam and Eve did. That's why he's showing up, right? And Adam's even thinking about him and looking at him like, don't you know? Don't you already know why I feel ashamed, Yahweh? You know, it's that same nature. Don't you already know, Father? Yeah, I'm getting you to say it. You know, I'm getting you to talk it out and talk it back to me. And this is where the subtlety of Satan will continue to flourish in the flesh because the confession is not there. Or if it's there, the appropriation of the blood has to be there too. So it's not just a like a mental acknowledgement that this is my nature, this is my natural tendency, this is how I behave, this is how I think, this is not right. You know how you just like think on yourself and self-reflect and self-accuse even and just really have a self-mind and a self-day, but you didn't say anything to Yah about it, right? So that can happen. All right, so let's move on to this word crucify for a second, because what do we got to do to crucify and kill our feelings and our desires? Well, we got to crucify, eliminate, exterminate, it's a war, the natural tendencies that we have. And so I thought if I can just say some natural tendencies to behave, I should say. I'll just bring up as many as I can think of, and then you can start to think about what you may do, you know, how you may behave. And then, honestly, is to become a better version of yourself for Yah, not for you, you know. And at times, not even for your husband and not even for your family. They directly benefit from the transformation of our Creator in you, right? It's all Him. And so let's talk about some natural tendencies that come to mind. And maybe you guys, sisters, maybe you have some. Maybe you want to type them in. If you type them in, I'll read them. If you, you know, have something that comes up, like natural tendency to whatever you might type, I'll throw in some words if I have it. If I have any feedback, maybe you guys in the chat room can throw in feedback towards one another. I don't know. Have fun with it, though. Natural tendencies, right? Natural tendencies to fear. That's very, what would you say? That's a stronghold for sure, right? That's a propensity for sure to fear, because it's said multiple times throughout the word, even to Joshua. Joshua, you're about to lead all these men. You're a mighty man. You're a strong man. You're about to lead all these men. We're going to go across this river. I'm going to do a miracle for you. I'm going to go across this water. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. I'm with you. Right? He's saying that because you are going to be tempted to have great fear, Joshua. Your might, your strength, none of that matters when your flesh is present, when fear is present, right? And so there's a propensity to fear that can happen in any atmosphere. You know, you can have a propensity to fear walking in a certain store, going in a certain parking lot, going in the tabernacle, going into a certain room inside of your community home, you know, a propensity to fear going near her, right? The atmosphere, what you see and what you hear can spark that fear. Every time I see that, boom, I'm fearing. Every time I hear that, I'm fearing. Right? These are the things that you confess and talk to the Father, and the blood. Plead the blood. Don't forget that. What about a propensity to envy? You know, it took me a long time to see my envy. I couldn't connect the dots of it. It was very subtle inside me. One thing I know about it is just, it's just a resentment, right? Envy is often a resentment, you know, just a rolling of the eyes on the inside, a disdain, something you don't like, you know, an irritation. Oftentimes, envy or jealousy is the root of that hatred. Not always. You have to be able to connect those dots. Maybe you watch every detail of someone else with your eyes. Maybe you watch every detail of many people in your life with your eyes. Why are you doing that? You know, why are you watching every detail of what she's wearing, where he's going, who she's talking to, that child's behavior? Why? Why are the eyes trained? You know, I promise you, when you walk in the Spirit, that the Most High Yah will quicken you to the things that you need to see. It's definitely divine. It's a spiritual process, because those things that you see, when you're walking in the Spirit, your reaction's different. You're not in the flesh. It's an understanding, you know, a communication of discernment that happens, like an acknowledgement within yourself, like, oh, okay, I get it, that's happening. But there's always love there. Whereas envy, when you're watching every detail with your eyes, there's no love. You know, there's a reason to stay away, a reason to separate, aha, I got it moment. Like, I knew she was like that. You know, that's the flesh. Or what about a natural tendency to, yes, Malia says interrupting. Malia, I still do that. I get so into a conversation, I interrupt. I've done a show about interrupting, I still interrupt. Hallelujah for overcoming, hallelujah for the blood, and hallelujah for getting better. And then I have those friendships, though, Malia, where it's a friendship. We interrupt each other because it's a friendship. I don't got to get too spiritual when we can go back and forth and finish each other's sentences and get fired up and nobody's, you know, there's no offense in the interruption. It's really more like when someone's in front of you with wisdom or experience and you're interrupting. You know what I mean? So that's a good one. A propensity, Ashley says, to be frustrated. Absolutely, that's a really good one. Of course, frustration is a work in the flesh. And normally when you act out of frustration at this moment, it's often called, it's displaced frustration. Because in this moment, it feels like that is the irritation. But in actuality, your frustration is something completely different. It's a frustration that you have possibly of losing control in another area of your life and not understanding. And really, sometimes the impatience of waiting on certain circumstances to change in your life can produce a frustration to work in the flesh too. Natural tendency to worry. Absolutely. Absolutely. Worry also really affects the stomach and the bowels, the mind. It can cause that fight or flight where you're feeling adrenaline. You know, or you're feeling higher and up more from within, from your nerves, than you really need to. You know, the cortisol and everything that's talked about all over online and the reason for weight gain and all that, they won't talk to you about deliverance from worry. They'll talk to you about cortisol, you know. Good job. I like y'all. Throw in your feedback to one another, too. Putting decisions off to the last minute. Hallelujah. A propensity to that. These are things that if this is coming up in your mind, like, man, this is what I do, this is what I'm working on, right, as y'all type them in, these are things that you can renounce. Renounce is a really powerful word. You know, renounce this in the name of Jesus. And then if there's still a pattern of it, you're still going to renounce it because you're separating from it. So it's not just, you know, I repent for it because that is also what I'm doing, but I'm renouncing because I don't want this to be a form of who I am anymore. And it's a powerful word because it takes your action and your commitment, hallelujah. But here's another one too. What about the propensity and natural tendency to have unbelief? Having that difficulty to accept Christ's love for you. That's a common pattern, and it's really because of the brokenness and the rejection of our society and our homes. You know, I know that sounds like an excuse. What we've been through in our childhood and our past, it sounds like a great excuse, right? But I'm not using it as an excuse in this instance. I'm saying it shaped us. And because of this long list of self-accusations from within ourselves about ourselves, then, of course, it's not going to be natural tendency to accept Christ's love. Seemingly, everyone else is loved but me, and everyone else belongs here but me, and I'm trying to fit in, you know? That can be definitely something to be crucified, right? Remember, crucifying propensities, crucifying selfish desires and lusts, crucifying natural tendencies of the flesh. What about, y'all already know that there's a natural tendency to be hurt. Having ears that are listening acutely to someone's speech and making what they say fit into your hurt. Man, I have been there before. You know, and then I've also been on the other end of it when you're surprised at how someone heard something and whether you are in the wrong, whether I'm in the wrong for how I spoke. I don't mean to take away, you know, my guilt. I'm just meaning our ears are really, really guilty of carrying that wound and that broken heart and that hurt because as soon as someone says something, it triggers your flesh to respond and then you don't hear appropriately, you know, and that takes some healing for sure. For some, there might be a propensity to gossip, which we know can also lead to sin, really. It might be easy to use someone else's name. You know, that was something I had to learn in the faith, was like, instead of, you know, hey, Ashley Miles said that we was going to have a leadership meeting this weekend, you know, I had to form more of an honor within myself and go, yeah, I heard that. Someone did say that, right? And leave it at that. I did hear it, and someone did say it. Hallelujah. Now you can't guess or even toss Ashley Miles' name around. And that also came, when I cleaned that up in my speech, that also came from 3 and 4 Ashley Bells, too. When Ashley Bell said, and Ashley Bell said, and you're like, what? Huh? It's like, let me clean up how I speak so that I hope, in turn, it will also affect how my name is used when I'm not around, you know? And so I most definitely, and that's not like, that's not gossip. Hey, Ashley Miles said we have a leadership meeting. That ain't gossip. We are having a leadership meeting. Hallelujah. But, you know, gossip is much more than that. But a propensity to even use someone else's name. And it took me a few weeks because I was still catching myself. Hey, Mother Carol said, but we ain't even got to say Mother Carol said. Matter of fact, how about that? This is what we doing. This is what we said, you know. And so really cleaning up the way we speak is a goal. That's a goal for the next generation for me. You know, we speak, you know, around the bush and not straight, or we speak too much, or we leave room for others to wonder, you know. Catch your speech sometime. Like, are you really saying anything? You know, are you really allowing the person on the other end of your conversation to get exactly what you're saying? And for years, I wasn't. I just wasn't. And then for whatever reason in our flesh, we always believe we're communicating straightforward and we're communicating good. It's just not the truth, you know. Propensity to lie. You know, this can be built early on in our childhood. Fear of being hurt or rejected or getting in trouble. You know, to my shame, I was an excellent liar in my, I wouldn't glorify in that at all. It's sin. But I was able to just, like, have it quick on my tongue. And it came from, you know, I had verbal abuse in my family for many years. And so I was constantly afraid. And so I got quicker at, you know, making up something that would hopefully not get me hit or hopefully not get me in trouble. You know what I mean? Hopefully not disappointing my mother, you know, and so the lying became quick, and then, you know, just catching myself as I got older, just, you know, and then when you catch these behaviors, it, for me, turning a behavior around was, let me involve someone else in this and say, I lied to you. This was not 100% honest, you know. The other person, oh, Holly, I didn't even think about it, what a, right, this is me talking to you, repenting you, is not about you at all. It's about me. Because the more I call this nature out, I can turn this, you know, natural tendency. That's part of also crucifying the flesh. Like, how can we really change the flesh and impact this flesh without involving someone else and really confessing our wrongs? You know, the more we isolate ourselves and just keep our issues within ourselves, your fight is on your own, you know. Well, when you reach out to someone else and this is my issue, this one I need help with, boom, the devil's told on, you know. What else? Hallelujah's in the chat and a few feedback from you guys. What about a propensity or a natural tendency to be exhausted, having not done much of anything? You know, can you be honest with yourself and say that? Like, why is my flesh, you know, exhausted? I haven't done much. Why is it exhausted? And then, of course, you know, in this generation and in this society right now, there's a huge push for all the terminology, you know, the healing you need from the cortisol, from the therapy, from the meditation, from the energy and the vibes. And, you know, they have this speech that they use over and over, but like, what are the adrenals, right? Adrenals and the kidneys and nerves and, you know, it's the body, they want to know about the body, they want fast for the body. How about repent, right? talk to the Father. Why am I exhausted, not doing much of anything? Why am I not talking to the Father that I have self-diagnosed myself that I think is my adrenals? And I ain't asked him nothing, you know? How about the propensity and natural tendency to criticize? You know, that's easy for some to do, nothing good to say when a story or a testimony is heard, you know, nothing good to praise about. Positive people are really rare in society. You know, I marvel, I have some positive people in my life and, you know, in the faith and the ministry, some that are, you know, like everybody knows, Candace Nelson, you know, Heidi, you know. There's more, but that's rare. You're a rarity, okay? Everything else you got to worry about, everything else you got to crucify within yourself, hallelujah, but you're an example of positivity. So for those who have a propensity to criticize, they can glean from you. And I admire that about the Father. I was just telling a sister on a polo this week, I admire that the things that we need to grow in, Yah will place that within someone else around us. That's the body. You know, and that nature within one another sparks your interest and shows you you can overcome. And so positivity is rare. Hallelujah. Being discouraged, you know, being discouraged and being depressed, that can be a natural tendency in your flesh. Complaining, that's a natural tendency. Remember, what are we saying these for? We got to crucify them, right? We got to apply the blood, right? We have to acknowledge these things. We have to acknowledge these things. We are not clean with these things. You know, we are walking in the flesh. So to complain or maybe to be embarrassed, to feel shame, to feel low self-esteem, to feel defeated, yes, these are all spiritual principalities or works of the enemy from within us. But you will know more about his kingdom as you reveal yourself to the Father. You'll know more about how to connect dots and get the deliverance you need. I wanted to, you know, past behaviors, like, they still need the blood, too. I'll give you an example, like, for some, you know, incubus, succubus, fantasies, filthy imaginations, promiscuity, all that, that can, you know, some of those things can be instantaneously changed in the faith for some people, like, this is how I was, and boom, this is how I just changed. Like, I just walked through. I'm just not. I don't have that anymore. But don't forget that that past behavior still needs the blood so that if it's still manifesting in your life in another form, because of the subtlety of the Hasatan and his spirits, you will have the blood on your side. So how about needing to crucify, you know, eating too much, drinking too much when you're alone, when you feel alone, you know, when you feel depressed, substance abuse. You know, I'm not stupid. I'm not an accuser either, praise Yah, but I'm not stupid to believe that pain pills, smoking, nicotine, marijuana is not amongst anyone who comes here because you're coming from the world. You know, this is what you did. This is what your flesh was given over to. From the over-abuse of an ibuprofen to an Oxycontin to a Vicodin. You know, these are natural tendencies of the flesh to respond to pain or to not want to feel. You know, smoking and nicotine. You know, I've cast out a lot of nicotine spirits, and most of the time, the person that comes is not asking for you to help them get free from smoking. A lot of times people have too much shame to even say they are. What happens is when you're helping them with a feeling or an emotion that they want to be free from, right, it could be anger, it could be frustration, it could be depression, and when you're calling these things out by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, nicotine or the smell of smoke shows up. And you know it's very divine because you're sitting there in a deliverance session and nobody's smoking a cigarette and the smell will almost knock you over and choke you out. It's real. You will smell the spirit before you even know it's there. That can happen. I don't know. You could probably go on all night. I'll do a few more. Closing yourself off to people, absolutely. Tendency to lean on your own understanding is so easy. Absolutely. These are from the chat room. Natural tendency to think of myself rather than talking to the Father. Yes, think on yourself. Yes. Wow. Wow. I'm reading one like, wow, yeah, things I wouldn't even thought of. How about propensities to have self-hate? You know, like as soon as you hear something, it's an instantaneous hatred of your body. Sometimes the hatred manifests so strongly that you don't even want to touch yourself to wash yourself, you know? Or how about a desire to have your own way? A true childish self-will instantaneously within yourself, being told to do anything because you were daddy's angel or grandma's little girl, you know, or mama's baby, whatever terminology that you need to walk away from, renounce, you know, because it did form a no-discipline lifestyle or a very selfish, you know. I heard a testimony of a sister. I did what I wanted when I wanted my whole life, and nobody told me what to do. And that greatly affects her now, you know, 30-plus years old. That affects her now. What about blood pressure going up and having a headache? Talk to the Father about it. Natural tendencies of the flesh. You know, when we continue to just speak to the Father very surface level about what's going on in our body without the confession of sin, then we often don't get answers. And I don't mean to say that that there aren't trials and afflictions of the Father to increase your faith to where he's not going to answer you in your time. You know, there's still that link of time that you have to go before you're delivered from anything. But what about the propensity to be delivered immediately? The impatience that you have with Yah, you know, arguing, contentious, propensity to spend all your money and just be, you know, foolish with money. These are behaviors in the flesh. These are the things that have to be crucified. So these things affect others in your life too. You know, the way that we are affects others in our life. And in my, you know, years with the Father, I know that what I do or say affects others in my life, but I also know the endurance of love. So I don't condemn myself for who I am and my faults and failures because you're commanded to love. But I don't make an excuse that because you're commanded to love, I should continue in this way, you know. So there's that perfect balance between you and I and you, her and her, that each of us should have. That we are willing to see each other through all the way to the end. You know, what about the propensity to immediately cut someone off and have no mercy and have no compassion and, you know, ostracize and never speak to them again? That's a human nature that's very critical, you know. So everyone needs a savior, right? Bringing me to my last and final points. Excuse me, y'all know that Mama Lily gave me some really good, I can't say the word, lozenges, is that what it's called? Not a cough drop, it's a zinc lozenge, right? So no, I'm not sick, but I continue to kick stuff out of my lungs. And because it was lingering and she heard me coughing, she gave me some lozenges. They were miracles. I took a few each day for 3 days, and man, it's great. Lozenges. Thank you. That's funny. She put, like, Sakita put the pronunciation. Lozenges. Lozenges. Oh, my gosh, y'all. Everyone needs a savior. Check this out. This is my thought. Because we need to be saved from our propensities, right? You need desperate saving from your natural tendencies, right? You need saving. This is not like a new doctrine in avoidance of deliverance, you know. I don't mean that at all. This is like a investigation into the deliverance that you need, you know. But I wanted to say that Jesus died to save us, not just in our death, like an afterlife experience, but Jesus died to save us in this life. In this life, and that's what makes our faith walk and our belief a little bit, not a little bit, a lot different from Christians, you know. Being saved in this life, having that understanding is like, maybe there is a confusion with the word saved. Because if you look at saved in a sense of delivered and protected and healed and preserved and made whole, then there's a difference in being saved and our understanding of being saved and not waiting on it. You know what I mean? So when the word says that whosoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be saved, that's not just, oh, in the next life, you'll be saved, you know, saved from damnation or whatever. It's whosoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be delivered. You know, when the word says they continue daily breaking bread from house to house, having a single heart, praising Elohim, having favor amongst each other, Yahweh added to that church daily such as should be saved. Another reference to a continuing process in our life, not I'm waiting to be saved. I don't know if I will be saved, as the Christians speak. I want to be saved. No, the salvation that I speak of, the saving that I speak of is in this life. Because neither is there salvation in any other but the Messiah, for there's none other name under heaven given to anyone whereby we must be saved in this life. In this life. So those who believe on Jesus Christ and shall be saved, as the word says, means that if you believe on Jesus Christ, then he will protect you, heal you, preserve you. No man can take that faith. Any man have faith, have it to yourself, right? No man can take that faith. So the belief is very important. The saving is happening, and that doesn't remove the salvation that we need after death. But we can be saved from his wrath. We can be saved from a lot of things. His mercy is in our life continually. And, you know, I used to have a propensity to not acknowledge his mercy and a propensity to not even know how his mercy was manifest. Like, totally oblivious. Like, where is it? You know? And so I had to apply my mind to look for it and to find it, you know, and apply the word, I should say. But to be saved, right? Paul said his heart's desire and prayer to Elohim for all of Israel was that they might be saved, which was to be freed and made whole, that you may be saved, that you may be saved, that you may be saved. That's a prayer for all of us, or for each of you, for me, for all of us as women, as daughters of Yah, that we will be saved. You know, you remember the account when Jesus came to Nazareth, when the word says that he was brought up there and he lived there, and his custom was to go into the synagogue. Y'all know the story. And his custom was to go in on the Sabbath day, and he stands up to read. Well, what does he read? Here comes somebody giving him a book. He opens up to the prophet Isaiah. He opens up the book. He finds a place where he wants to read, where it's written that the Spirit of Yah is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Common English version, my favorite, it says, the Lord's Spirit has come to me because he has chosen me to tell the good news to the poor, and he has sent me to announce freedom for prisoners, to free everyone who suffers. That's the salvation that I need, that we need. That's the saving we need, you know. And the salvation of Yah is his good news. So he has chosen me to tell the good news. You know, save me now, Father, in this life. Save me now from this sin. Deliver me. That's what you're really saying with the word save. Deliver me. Protect me. Heal me. Preserve me. Why? Because I'm going to meet the requirement. I am going to repent of these things. So your needs and your desires, you turn them towards him. When you start fighting the natural tendencies of the flesh, when you start crucifying the affections and the lust thereof, when you start resisting them, noticing them, confessing them, acknowledging their strength over you, then you're turning your heart towards the Father and away from your flesh. And when you continually crucify the flesh day in and day out as much as possible with the strength that lies within you, the Father's strength, right? It's 7 days a week. It is 7 days a week, right? So when you're applying his blood and when you're applying your focus, It's like, oh, I'm about to focus on this natural tendency right here. I am about to focus on this spirit that has power over me. I am about to, right, crucify this thing. Now, it's going to show you its power, too. It's going to humble you, right, because you can do nothing without the Father. And as soon as you start doing it and thinking you're doing something, I'm telling you, you will be overcome, right? This perfect balance of overcoming while experiencing defeat, you know, so that we can be overcomers. Hallelujah. I want to share last thing, last thought. Thank you, chat room, for your hallelujahs. I want to share. Wait, let me get some water. Crystal Geyser tonight. Hallelujah. That's the drink tonight. I want to share a propensity that I had. And man, you know how I was telling y'all earlier? You may like notice your natural tendencies, or even after tonight's show, you might think about it and start noticing something, or whatever y'all may do for you. But for me, when I noticed a natural tendency, and the one I'm about to share, it was so interwoven into who I was, who I am, who I thought, how I thought, all these things, right? That it's so interwoven, and it's, why is it so difficult to explain? Let's say you have a natural tendency that you find out, like you guys listed tonight, like, you know, natural tendency to be worried or frustrated or to overspeak or overcommunicate, or you got all these things. Okay, now try to explain it. You know, maybe you can, maybe you can't. And so I thought to myself, what natural tendency could really, you know, maybe connect with the sisters that I was sharing tonight? And I thought of bitterness, because I had a very strong propensity and natural tendency to be bitter. And it was it affected my mind. I'm going to try my best, y'all, to try to describe this thing. Because what I mean by having a natural tendency, by the way, guys, not just, okay, you know you got to crucify it. You know you got to acknowledge it. You know you got to cover it by the blood. You know you got to renounce it. But it's a journey, because you're trying to find a pattern of how it works and not to be impatient with it. And impatience for me is just almost always going to show up, right? Because I just don't understand why we're not at the end of everything. Why is it not the end of the world already? That's a natural propensity, Father, in the name of Jesus, that I renounce. But bitterness, right? It affected my mind with negative self-talk from the inside. And, you know, there's a negative self-speech that you can have that can lead to repentance, because this ain't right, and I thought this and this, and you can really, you know, you think on yourself or reflect on yourself, that leads to repentance. But then you can have that negative self-talk that really tears you down and, you know, belittles you and creates your low self-esteem, but also creates your bitterness, that you're not any different, that you can't get out of, you know, that you're no better than everything that everyone ever said about you or everyone else ever thought about you. And a lot of the times, the negative self-talk that we have is built around the idea of what others think of us, not our own process of loving ourselves, you know? And that's something to think about. But this propensity and natural tendency that I had to be bitter was also very impatient in trials and afflictions. Now, if you experience impatience in trial and impatience in affliction, for me, there was some sort of belief that I can get to an end, or that I determine the end. Now, it wouldn't say that to me, but the defeatism that you experience along the way, like you're in control of the outcome, that's what it's saying. You know, that's the impatience that it's expressing, as if you can take you out of this. And why am I not out of this? You know what I mean? Because the flesh really doesn't want to experience anything, you know? And so that impatience, having impatience in a trial, having impatience in an affliction or whatever, I didn't connect to bitterness until over time. And so I hope as I try to explain this, because I'm going to keep going, right, I hope that it doesn't cause any confusion for what you're trying to find out about yourself. Okay, so just listen to me for, like, what it is, you know, and then things that maybe stand out, jot it down, think about it, apply it if need be, but most definitely understand yourself within yourself with the help of the Ruach and not the confusion of someone else's journey, you know. And so my natural tendency to be bitter was also very stubborn inside me, very stubborn in my idea of how this life should be. It was very stubborn in my idea of how an outcome, like when I'm striving and nothing's good enough because I haven't reached the end or I haven't reached my outcome that I'm desiring, my freedom or whatever, the stubbornness was there. You know, it was like a rejection of the process, right? And then there's a pride towards others' lack of compassion or pity on what you're experiencing. Now, this is also very accusatory because others don't know the compassion or the pity that you need, or others also haven't learned it. Others haven't experienced or learned how to manifest compassion or pity. That is all subject to the Father, the Creator. Now, if I'm a giver of compassion, if I'm a giver of pity to your circumstance, then I am manifesting Yah in me and the works of the Spirit. So if someone is not manifesting the works of the Spirit to you in your circumstance, there's no one else to blame but Yah. He's the molder of all of us. So he'll put before you someone to strengthen you, and then he'll also put before you the thing to provoke you. And then, of course, the HaShatan, who adds a little fuel to every fire, right, will come to kill, steal, and destroy and tear you down. So the inability to receive love was also the natural tendency to be bitter. So, like, to me, love didn't exist. It was really bogus. You know, because I couldn't produce it. And to me, from the inner man, there was a demand for my way. You know, a very hidden control of my way, for my outcome, meaning my freedom. And so then it hides, right? It hides because why don't I have my freedom, the freedom that I'm striving for? Day in and day out. Why don't I have this chain broken yet? Why? And so if there's a why, then there's a propensity to question, a natural tendency to be bitter. And so as these things unveil themselves from within your vile flesh, right, you communicate to the Creator about it. You investigate your own self and communicate this to the Father. But there's this, like, hidden demand for what is right from others. You know, a very self-righteous pattern. I know I've mentioned that on the show before, that Satan, upon others coming into the faith, Satan will instantaneously affect a lot of people's mind with a righteous demand on everyone else. That happens so many countless times, because for the first time you're hearing the word of Yah, or the first time you're studying the word of Yah, the first time you changed your dress, you changed how you act, you're changing how you communicate, changing what you watch, you're denying a lot of things, you know, getting rid of this, turning that off, not watching that show. When you start changing these patterns within yourself, then instantaneous, why isn't everyone else? An automatic rejector, which is not what Christ is or was, right? When he came to save those that were like what you're rejecting. And so there was like this demand from within me to have others in my life be what I needed them to be. You know, and that was a natural tendency to be bitter. Hope that makes sense. And then I even got to say, you know, even years ago, there was a violent desire. And I realized, you know, when I talk, you guys have no idea how pure some of these young maidens are amongst us. And I mean, you know, even from 15, 14, 12, 13, all the way down, like there's young, really young girls. And I speak on the show, every show, very mindful of them because they're absorbent to the things of Yah. And you also want to communicate the same way their mother or father does, you know, all speaking the same thing according to the Spirit. And so I try sometimes to not be affected negatively by that, or to like refrain from saying the truth to this generation because they won't understand. But the things that we feel or experienced or did, I'm telling y'all, they don't think it. They don't think it. That doesn't mean that they don't fight their own battles and they don't have their spirits. By any stretch of imagination, they have a war, a huge war ahead of them. Consider the confusion that a young maiden would have when she thinks a certain way and all she sees is different than that. You know what I mean? Or all that we are as we strive to change is a different presentation in front of her mind as she's wondering who to be, you know? And so I consider that, but the reason I say that is because I had a violent desire, and when I thought of the word violent, I thought that so opposes everything that these young maidens may have to deal with at this stage in their life, but I had a violent desire to really hit something, to retaliate very strongly. But there was also a time, and I would do it all over again, that in those desires for freedom, that I didn't mind screaming into my pillow for deliverance and freedom, and I didn't mind hitting the floor when I prayed. Because this was the way that my flesh expresses the desire for freedom and the hatred and disdain for the enemy, for the sin in my own flesh, you know. And I think that that expression for freedom, maybe you don't know that you can do that, you know. Maybe you never have. And I'm not telling any of you to by any means. I don't mean that. I'm meaning, what if there's another level of crying out that you haven't gotten to because you're trying to go to the Father as if you're not a certain way, you know? Like, who wants to acknowledge to this holy Creator that you have 1,000 natural tendencies and spirits, you know? Maybe you're bound in that mentality. But a desperation to be free, I'm telling you, is going to punch something, if need be. And I realize everybody's personality is different, and that is so contrary to a lot of you. But I had a violent desire to hit things and to really retaliate. I had a violent desire, even in my prayer life, that would, you know, express itself. And I didn't refrain from it because I wanted to be free. I'm allowing the Father in the intimacy and the private time and the quiet of my prayer to see me for who I am. I'm not hiding, you know, this, whether it's wrong or not, you know. And then I also had this mind that had an immediate judgment, an immediate criticism, immediate contentious inner self towards anything, towards a trigger, towards a certain, you know, personality, towards a certain pattern. Like, oh my God, if I see or hear this again, I'm telling you, you know what I mean, on the inside. And so that immediate judgment or criticism was my natural tendency to be bitter. My unbelief that, you got to be shitting me, Father, you ain't not seeing this. Like, are you seeing this? When everything within me is just as wretched as what you are labeling someone else to be, you know? So the anger and the temperament, you know, you can control your temperament and come to the faith and you know, talk a certain way at surface level and just want to bless you and double honor to everything and everybody. And, you know, you can train your flesh to do that, but in your heart, you're not even manifesting the love that's on your lips. So bitterness, yes, my bitterness was rooted in my childhood traumas, yes. My bitterness was rooted in verbal abuse and the patterns of unbelief that love even existed. But also just the confusion with love in general, because you're not a source of love initially in the faith. You're not. You're just not. Like, what do you love? You have a feeling towards something, an emotion towards something, but what are you really loving? And until you can love by endurance, you know, then you can say, yes, I love, you know, been through this, been through that. That's what marriage is about too. You know, marriage is not about a superficial life of no one failing. It's about a bond and a covenant that's not moved, you know, an endurance, just literally a love, a love. But yeah, bitterness was my pattern because love didn't exist. And if love didn't exist, then there was great hate that existed, you know. And I just had this denial of Yah's view of it all. You know, how many times has any or all of us said that the Most High doesn't see? And even if you say that he sees, how many times have you really not believed it, you know? And so that was a layer that I had to get to, that I know that I know that I know he sees every detail, because he's increased my faith so much and proven himself to me. And, I mean, I could do 1,000 shows on that. So wrapping up my thoughts and wrapping up the show for the night, I had a misunderstanding of how to separate Yah from what someone else did or what someone else said. The way that you can separate light from darkness, that is how you should be able to separate the Most High from what you are experiencing in your life. The trauma, you know, the judgmentalism, criticism, the rejection, I don't know, the poverty, whatever it is. You can separate him from your circumstance because you can separate light from darkness. And I had a misunderstanding of how to separate Yah from anything that I was going through. Like, he was the reason, he was the blame, you know, because I had a natural tendency to blame him. I don't believe everyone does. I just hope that if I broke this down or explained it, then maybe you could connect some dots. Hallelujah. But I've been saved. And I've been delivered from this propensity, this natural tendency to be bitter. I have ways to go, things to change. But, you know, 30-plus years of a behavior, you know, for some of you, maybe it's 35, 40, 45, 50, depending on our age. This is something that, you know, you instantly think of. And it's difficult if you have an instant unbelief of Yah. You know how challenging that is to think different? Hallelujah. So I hope that using the word renounce in your prayers will help you. Renouncing your natural tendencies and really taking a step away from him. But remember, you're doing it for him and not for yourself. You're doing it because you love him and because why? He was crucified so that you may be saved in this life and the life to come. And he deserves you crucifying yourself, picking up your tree and following him. Hallelujah. Praise God. I hope that you guys really put some, dots together. I love y'all. Bless you. You know I do. And keep striving. That's why I'm going to play Striving. Striving by Straightway Indiana Goshen. Anything else to my chat room? Thank y'all. Thank y'all for following. You can tell I'm a little raspy still. Like, raspy is a word to my international sisters that describes my voice when it's not normal yet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank y'all. Hey, Heidi. Strength to you and your vessel. Thank y'all so much. Hallelujah. All right, let's keep trying to love one another. Keep trying to get yourself off your mind and encouraging somebody else and strengthening somebody else. It really helps you fight your battle, okay? Don't be consumed with yourself this week. I'm saying it to myself too, right? I live a life at the community, as we all do in any community. Some of you guys, even offlanders and people who dedicate your lives to other people, you live a life that you are determined to get yourself off of your mind. And that's what it's about, because the flesh really wants you to just think about you, right? Just isolate, not come out, etc. And there's a season for that too. But bless you. Draw near unto Yah, and he will draw near unto you. Here we go. Striving. Good night, my sisters. I don't know anything about this weekend, you know, Pastors Off Land. I don't know who will preach. Hallelujah. I assume that we won't have blog talk. Did I tell y'all that story really quickly? Did I tell y'all the story that one weekend my goodness, why didn't we have a blog talk? It was something, was Pastor gone? Oh, yes, Pastor was, okay, this is just a couple weeks ago. Did I tell y'all this last week? I said on the show, all right, bless y'all, have a good show tomorrow night. you know, it's pastors, it's 6 day, have a good Sabbath. I'm just like, I'm just blessing y'all and throwing it out, right? And then the next day, my teacher Shane says, did you announce on your show that we got Blog Talk tonight? Because you sure did confuse some people. Why, we don't got Blog Talk tonight? He's like, no, pastor's gone. He's, you know, out of town. I said, oh my gosh, I would have just randomly communicated that. I half the time don't know the date, the day. I mean, when you live this set-apart lifestyle, I don't got any appointments. The only reason I look at the calendar is because Steve and Wenda made it, you know, or because the feast is coming up. I'm telling you, if somebody else don't tell me what day it is, I might not even know that it's my show. Hallelujah. It's the peaceful, content life that I live. So I'm sorry for misleading anybody when I said, y'all enjoy the show tomorrow, because there was no show. And sometimes I just don't even know myself. All right, I've talked enough, but remember, tomorrow night, I don't know that there's a show. Why would there be? Pastor's not here. Teacher's not even here. Hallelujah. So I just assume that we don't have Blog Talk. Stay tuned to all the channels and see if something gets posted, because I'm not aware of anything at this point. All right? Bless y'all and good night. Keep on striving.
Yeah.